Chapter 16, Buoyant to the End. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Romans 8:18.
Carolyn Wilson is far more familiar with heartache than any of us would ever wish to be. Countless nights she has soaked her pillow with tears, and innumerable days her eyes have grown red from weeping. Yet through it all, the truth of Romans 8:18 sustains her. Through it all, she can confidently say, "It's worth it all." How is this possible? That's a crucial question. But before we can understand the how, we must get some idea of the what. And believe me, the what isn't pretty. Carolyn has a deep understanding of what Paul means when he talks about our present sufferings. For many years, Carolyn endured the pain and loneliness of a dysfunctional marriage for her children's sake. When Carolyn's oldest daughter, Susan, was 17, doctors diagnosed her with Hodgkin's lymphoma. Now the pain of an empty marriage was multiplied by the threat of cancer. 2 years later, the 22-year marriage disintegrated under the strain. Yet the tears would continue. Just 7 years after the breakup, Carolyn's younger daughter, Carrie, was diagnosed with desmoid tumors on one thigh. Radical surgery removed the tumors without resorting to amputation. But in recent days, several tumors have reappeared and doctors are scrambling to try new treatments. As of this writing, Carrie's prognosis is unclear. And yet Carolyn clings to the truth of Romans 8:18. She says, "God does not waste our tears or sorrows. I have always believed that He gathers my tears into a bottle, and that one day each tear will be a jewel in eternity. I believe this because He says He will redeem them all. He will turn my mourning into dancing and my sorrows into joy. It doesn't make it easy, but this sure makes it bearable." Those who think Carolyn's words reflect nothing but wishful thinking are simply wrong. Already she has seen God redeem some of her pain, and she takes that small redemption as a down payment on what is to come. Remember Susan? She is now 30 years of age, married, has a son, and is working with us at the Outreach of Hope. God already has redeemed Susan's suffering. Carolyn says, "I believe He prepared her for the ministry she is doing at the Outreach of Hope. She is able to help others because she understands their pain." When terrible pain comes into our lives, we are often tempted to give in to the idea that Romans 8:18 is little more than wishful thinking. Never fall for this devilish trap. Remember that the writer of this verse was no dreamy-eyed idealist. No, Paul was the consummate realist. Yet his reality was not confined to the fishbowl of earthly existence, but encompassed the vast, unsearchable reaches of heaven. Paul never downplayed the jagged pain of life here below. He simply emphasized the infinitely greater rewards of life above. Paul would never think of telling someone, "Oh, please grow up. Your pain is not so bad." He would be more likely to say, "Oh, please look up. The glory that awaits you is worth it all." Such a conviction takes on even greater weight when you consider that Paul penned these words around AD 57, at least 2 years after he wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians, in which he sketched out some of his own sufferings. To this very hour we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. 1 Corinthians 4:11-13. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. 2 Corinthians 11:23-28. This man knew all about sufferings. He never minimized them, never hid from them, and never shrank from them. Yet neither did he allow them to take his focus off a bigger truth, that his God would one day soon heap upon him blessings infinitely greater than the very real hardships he faced while living on this planet. It was that glorious truth that not only kept him going, but that kept him hopeful and buoyant and irrepressible to the end. It has done the same for Carolyn Wilson, and it can do the same for you if you'll just let it do the mighty work God designed for it to accomplish. Dear Lord, it's so hard for me to see my suffering as light and momentary. I feel as if the walls are crashing in on all sides and there's no relief in sight. I not only feel this way about myself, but when I look at the world around me and see all the horrible things happening to others, I wonder, is this light and momentary? Often I get confused and struggle in trying to make sense of it all. But then I look into your word and see that no one could have suffered more deeply than those who are described in the Bible. Men and women were slaughtered because they believed in Jesus. Then I observe how much Jesus suffered on my behalf, and I begin to see that my suffering doesn't begin to compare to what he endured for me. Lord, not only do I see this in your word, but I also see it in those around me who are suffering. Thank you for the encouragement you have given me through their lives. In the midst of our light and momentary troubles, I am slowly beginning to realize that I am gold in the making. I have to say just one thing, though. When I am overwhelmed by the suffering, I am so grateful that you don't sit on your throne, shaking your finger at me in disgust because I'm not handling it well. No, you chose to come off your throne to embrace me and show me through Jesus, through healing words of Scripture, and through loving friends that you really do care for me. Compared with what awaits us on the other side, I guess these really are just light and momentary troubles. Thanks for helping me to see that more clearly. Amen.